Well, good morning. Good morning. And welcome to an opportunity to gather in the name of Christ and to worship him together and to learn from him. Today is the first Sunday in Lent. Sundays are not a part of Lent. That's why we don't say first Sunday of Lent, but it's first Sunday in Lent. And it's an opportunity to still be resurrected people. Because we are, and nothing changes that. And we're here, though, in the season of Lent to understand how we can be drawn closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason for the season of Lent. That's the reason for the season of Advent. It's times within our year. It is times within our journey with the Lord to examine our lives. And so let us be attentive to what the word says to us today. Let us be attentive to what we experience as we partake of the elements of the sacrament. And let's be attentive to the presence of God today. He is here. He is present. He is Emmanuel. Before we enter into our season of worship, just a couple of announcements. I know you can read them, but I will highlight just a few of them. Come Saturday, please change your clock, move it ahead, spring ahead. If you don't, you'll be in time for coffee. This Saturday, before you go to bed, move your clocks ahead 1 hour. And then this month is Food Shelf Month. It is our practice to collect food items, non-perishable food items, and we will then take them over to the Quad Cities Food Shelf. If you desire to make a check, make it out to the Quad Cities Food Shelf, and let's fill that box out there. I know that our pantries, most of our pantries are full or are almost there, and let's share a part of our wealth to those who do not have, who are in need of food items. And then, Consul, you know that we have a meeting on Wednesday night. Let's stand and read responsively our call to worship. When disaster strikes, where can we go?
God is always there.
When enemies surround us, whom can we trust?
Christ is always with us.
When life is hard, who can ease the load?
The Spirit is always there to sustain us.
Come, let us worship the God of our salvation. And as we do, let us open our hymnals to number 408, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain, whence the healing stream doth flow. Let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliver, be thou still my strength and shield. Be thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Bear me through the swelling current, land me safe on Canaan's side. Lord God, we celebrate today you being Emmanuel. We thank you that no matter what happens in our life, you are there for us, giving us the strength, giving us wisdom, giving us understanding, and guiding us along. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry of your Spirit, not only in our lives, but through our lives and around our lives. As we come together to worship you today, open our hearts and our minds to go a little bit deeper in our understanding of who you are and what you have called us to do. It is in your name that we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Let us hear from the word of the Lord as we open our hearts and our lives to him.
First lesson this morning is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26, and verses 1 through 11. When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in the office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our forefathers to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar and of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, putting us to hard labor. Then we cried out to the Lord and God our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, with great terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. And you and the Levites and the aliens among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and to your household. The second lesson is taken from Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 13. But what does this say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, everyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
call upon our usher to receive our morning tithes and gifts. Heavenly Father, we thank you that there has been given to us no other name by which we can be saved, and that's the name of Jesus. As we offer our lives to you, as we offer our gifts to you, bless them, O Lord. Use them for the furtherance of your glory in and through this place. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let us stand and praise God as we sing the doxology together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. May be seated. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. We thank you, O Lord, for opportunities that are ours to bring our baskets of thanksgiving to you. You are a God of gratefulness, and you're seeking out a people to be a people of gratefulness. Indeed, O Lord, teach us to count our blessings and name them one by one, to know how blessed we are, and that blessing calls us to indeed be grateful, for you are a good God. You are a God who is faithful. You are a God who answers our prayers in accordance with your will. You are one who watches over us. You are one who seeks out a people and continues to seek out a people for yourself, that we might honor and glorify your name in the midst of a world. Father, we lift up our brothers and sisters in Ukraine these days, and for the Christian ministries that are there that may be needing to relocate for a season. Father, we pray that these people and your church in Ukraine would be given the strength and the wisdom to know what needs to be done and what they can do in the midst of this conflict. Lord, we do pray for peace, and we continue to pray for peace, and we continue to pray for the leadership around the world as to what next steps must be taken in order for peace to come about. Lord, we don't totally understand, and yet you do. You are sovereign. You are one who oversees and knows all about it. Father, we pray that the mess that we are perceiving these days would know your peace, would know your wholeness, Lord, we pray that your will would be done as it is already being done in heaven. Father, we thank you for signs of this venture with COVID is coming to an end. And we thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that has gone into this and for the medications that have helped and kept people alive. Father, we pray now for a continual restoration, not only with COVID, but all of the ramifications that goes with it, not only in for personally and within families, but also as countries. We understand, Lord, that there are many countries who are still in the thick of it all. Lord, we continue to pray for your healing touch, not only upon persons, but upon those who care for these persons, as well as for the virus itself. Just say the word, Lord, and it would be done, and it will be done. Father, as we begin our season of Lent, help us to keep our focus, our eyes upon you, Lord Jesus. And help us to examine our lives in relationship to your life as to what you've called us to become, of what you called us to do. Father, might we find ourselves growing in our relationship with you, allowing nothing to hinder us, or better yet, to dealing with those things in our lives that hinder us from fully walking with you and fully growing in word and in spirit. So bless us in this new season of Lent, O Lord, as we journey to the cross and through the empty tomb. May our hearts be warmed by your spirit, and may we take the opportunities that are ours to deal with the temptations, to deal with the sins in our life, and to be rid of them in order that we might walk closer and deeper with you. Thank you, Lord, for opportunities such as this to examine our lives and to see if we are still of the faith of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. There's a wonderful chorus that I know we have sung in the past, and it's a very simple chorus. We're attributing and giving thanks to God who loves us, and we love him in return. And to what extent do we go in order to love him? God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That's you and me. And in the words of this chorus is, I adore you, lay my life before you, how I love you. Allow this prayer to be your prayer this morning. And we'll sing it through the three verses, Father, I adore you, Jesus, I adore you, and Spirit, I adore you. Father, I adore you, lay my life before you. So Let's turn in our Bibles to the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness. Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 1 and reading through verse 13. Luke 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be all yours." And Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." And Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. What's keeping you from Christ? What's keeping you from God? As we think of on such questions, we probably all try to find an easy way out. What's keeping me from Christ? Well, God isn't here anymore. God is just like some clockmaker who sets things in motion and then just steps away. He really isn't present. But the scripture tells us of a different story. No matter where we might go, Christ goes with us. No matter what we might do, God's grace covers us. And the gospel reveals to us an ever-present God, Emmanuel. And our hearts know better than to simply say, God is not here anymore. So what's keeping you from Christ? The story of Jesus' temptation in the desert gives us an idea of what keeps us from God. Jesus was tempted in every possible way. And the very things Jesus was tempted with were put there in an effort to separate Jesus from God. Had Jesus given in to such temptations, Jesus would have fallen. Jesus would have kept himself from being in a relationship with God. You see, Jesus was being tugged in two different directions. God the Father was telling Jesus, in essence, take my love to men and women. Love them till you die for them. Save them by this unconquerable love, even if you finish by hanging on a cross. Satan, on the other hand, was saying to him, in essence, use your power to blast men and women. Obliterate your enemies. Win the world by might and power and bloodshed. God said to Jesus, set up your reign of love. Satan said, set up a dictatorship of force. The three temptations we read about in our scriptures this morning are certainly attractive, and they make a lot of sense as well. God can't want God's beloved son to be famished with hunger, can he? If God wants Jesus to become sovereign over the world, then why not go for it the easy way? Why not prove it by spectacular display of power? Why not go for the easy ride? This is what the world whispers in our ears every day. Go for the power. Live for self. Love is overrated. And how often have we given in to such temptations? How often have we kept ourselves from Jesus? Jesus' first temptation was to turn a stone into a loaf of bread. Let's think for a moment about all the loaves of bread that we let slip from our lives. The obvious parallel is food and drink, but there are also many other types of loaves, like TV, internet, video games, if you get into them. And we spend our time mindlessly overindulging as our relationship with Christ slips through the cracks. Then there is the temptation of power and prestige. Jesus was offered glory and authority over all the kingdoms of the world. For us, the temptation might be to greatly volunteer in an effort to receive praise from your supervisor or maybe a big recognition in the newspaper. But perhaps we are so concerned about pleasing people and building ourselves up in the eyes of others that we forget about serving God, about humbling ourselves before one another. Jesus finally is tempted to test God. We too are pushed to test God in various ways. We selfishly seek things from God that are unreasonable and not always possible. Then we become angry with God when we do not get what we want, forgetting that what we want is not always consistent with God's will. The temptations that you and I face day by day and at critical moments of decisions may be very different from those of Jesus, but they are exactly the same point. They are not simply trying to entice us into committing this or that sin, but they are trying to distract us, to keep us away from a relationship with Christ, to turn us aside from the path of servanthood to which we have been called. God has costly but wonderfully great plans for each and every one of us, and the enemy will do everything possible to distract us and to keep us from God's good pleasures. It's important for us to learn to recognize the voices that whisper attractive lies and to be able to distinguish them from the voice of God. Fighting temptation isn't just about ourselves down. Temptation isn't about putting ourselves down or beating ourselves up in the face of weakness. It is about celebrating God's gift of full humanity and learning to live into that gift in the best possible way. You can be so great. I can be so great. We can have a deep and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, and our lives can be filled with such meaning. We can really make a positive difference in this world. And in following Christ, we may not acquire power and prestige, but we are guaranteed true happiness, true fulfillment, which neither the world, nor the flesh, nor the devil can begin to imitate much less take it away from us. But we must keep our eyes on Jesus and trust God for everything. And if we can do that, we are enabled to say a firm no to the voices that try and lure us back into the darkness, into the misery. Now, here's another question for us all. What keeps other people from Christ? Did you ever pause to think that maybe the answer to that question is me, you, us? That sometimes the temptations we face affect not only us, but also the people around us? Like the disciples who did not want to bring children near Jesus. Perhaps because of our attitudes and our own unwillingness to share Christ, we are hindering others from coming into a full relationship with Him. So who are we to keep others from building the same relationship that has so shaped our lives? Jesus stands with His arms wide open, ready to receive all who walk toward Him. Will we be like the disciples, tempted by selfish voices who try and stop the children from reaching Jesus? We are never to think that someone is not worth our time. We are never to close the church doors to anyone, no matter what their background or what they might look like. What this story about Jesus blessing the little children is telling us is don't put obstacles in the way of people coming to Christ. Just as we make every effort to tear down the walls of temptation and sin that keeps us from Christ, so we too should seek to tear down every wall that keeps others from knowing God in Christ Jesus. We should never turn anyone away. And as a matter of fact, we should do all in our power to welcome them, to let them know we are glad that they are here, to be excited about our church because this is an awesome church. Be excited about our Savior and be excited about new people coming into our congregation. And when new people come here, this is not only an opportunity for them to change, but it is also an opportunity for us to change. For the newcomers become messengers to us as much as or even more than we become messengers to them. Are we willing to trust God enough to take the risks that are involved in growing in our relationship with Christ and helping to bring others into a relationship with Christ as well? Can we put aside our selfish ambitions and usher others into this relationship that will fundamentally change their lives just as ours have been changed? Imagine if someone were to extract from you all of your life experiences of Christ that you have had through this church or any church. Would you recognize yourself? Would you even like yourself? Imagine how empty our world would be if the lives of all people were void of such experiences of the church. As Christ followers, our task is to overcome the hindrances of this world that keep ourselves and others from growing in a relationship with Christ. As Christians, our task is to fill this world with the love of Christ. Jesus said, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And we serve Christ best when we follow his instructions to his disciples. Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as you were tempted in the desert, you were filled with the Holy Spirit, and you were filled with the word that you have provided for us throughout the ages. And it is in that spirit, it is in that word, that not only did you resist, but you overcame the enticements of the devil himself. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your example. But we come to you as people who have experienced the human condition that is not always filled with your spirit, not always in your word and allowing your word to be in us, so that when those enticements come, when those temptations come, we give in, we fall into that temptation. And when that happens, we sin. Lord, forgive us our sins. Forgive us when we allow ourselves to be distanced from you, when our eyes are not on you, but even for a moment cast on something or someone else. Help us, O Lord. Show us your mercy. And by your grace, help us to keep our focus on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and enabling us to say a resounding no to every time that we are enticed to distance ourselves from you. It is in your name that we pray these words. Amen and amen. In our preparation for this table this morning, I would like to offer you an exercise of a guided prayer. I will make a statement, and then I will pause for about 10-15 seconds and allow you to silently in your heart and mind respond to it, however the Lord might be leading you. Let us pray. Let us quiet our hearts before God as we remember our gift of the bread and cup. Let us repent of our sins. Let us remember our special need of God's grace. Let us recognize Christ's continual presence in our lives. Let us remember Christ's suffering and death. Let us celebrate the new life we have in Christ. Continue to pray, expressing your thanks to God for the gift found in the Lord's Supper. Brothers and sisters, this is a joyful feast of the people of God. Many will come from the east and the west and the north and the south, and will sit at table in the kingdom of God. This is the Lord's table, and our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him. In your worship folder is a prayer of confession. Let's pray this prayer together. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves, and we are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, for the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. Let us take note of what the scripture tells us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us all of our sins through our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of his Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Hear the words now of our Lord Jesus Christ as they are delivered by the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Let us pray. O Lord of all, we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, presenting to you from our creation this bread and this wine. Gracious God, we pray that you will send your Holy Spirit on these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and the blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his death and resurrection, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And in the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly feast where with all your saints we will be gathered in glory forever and ever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. To him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Is not the bread we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are of one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. In the same way, is not the cup that we bless a participation in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ? The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ has died for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Amen. Will our servers come forward, please? Or server. Take and eat, for this is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you. The blood of Christ, the true vine. Eternal God and Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. We'll find our closing hymn on page 377. 377. Take time to be holy. Take time to be holy. As you find it, please stand. As I was reading the text this morning, enjoying my cup of coffee, one of the things that stood out for me this morning was that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was the Spirit that led him into temptation. We think that temptation only comes to those who are weak, to those who are immature. And yet Jesus, the Son of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, was led to his temptations. Temptations really don't begin unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit. When the Word abides in you, the temptations really come. So we can never say that we are mature enough that the devil can't get a hold of us, or that the devil can't tempt us, because if he can get at Jesus with his enticements, he can get at you. How will you stand? In what way are you keeping your eyes on Jesus, being filled with the Spirit and allowing the Word to abide in you and to live through you? That's how we'll be able to stand. But know this, there is a promise in the letters to the Corinthians that if we are tempted, there is always, always, always a way out. We can never be backed into a corner. And the devil can never say, I gotcha, because there's always a way out. That's grace. That's goodness of God for each and every one of us. As we go, let us bless each other, knowing that our lives together are in Christ Jesus. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious, gracious, gracious. us to you. The Lord lift up his countenance.